In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This wonderful celebration that we currently find ourselves in, that of the theophany of our Lord, which reflects on the fact that He became man for our sake at the Nativity, and then underwent something which He really had no need for, which was holy baptism. But at the same time, He was identifying Himself with us in going through this baptism. Now, St. Gregory the Theologian actually says that we have five baptisms. St. John of Damascus says that we have eight, but his are too complex, so I'm going to go with St. Gregory the Theologian instead. He said the first baptism was that of Moses, and that was for purification. The second baptism would be that of John the Baptist, and that was for repentance, preparing the way of the Lord. The third baptism is that of Christ Himself, which is energized by the activities of the Holy Spirit, which makes someone a Christian. The fourth baptism is that of blood and of martyrdom, because we have many instances of those who were not baptized, yet confessed Christ and were martyred for it, and were considered to be baptized in their own blood. Some of those who were non-Orthodox, who were with the Tsar Martyr Nicholas in Alexandria, and their family at that time would fall into that particular category. And then the last baptism that we have is one that the fathers are talking about all the time, and that's the one of tears and repentance. Because repentance, confession, is considered to be the last baptism, the one that draws from the power of Christ's baptism and yet renews us, makes us whole, helps establish us again as human beings, both in the physical and in the spiritual sense. Now, of course, the reason for baptism itself, it really comes down to the idea of the precariousness of life itself. Once Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, well, after that, things became very difficult for us all of a sudden. What we enjoyed there, we could enjoy no more. Life became very difficult. Life became something that was almost like a piece of glass that could be shattered easily. I know that my Curia's cardiologist, who used to live across the street from us, he reposed a few years ago, very popular man when he reposed. And we were over at his house once, and I remember, in his office once, and he said, I remember it very clearly, he said, you know, there's a lot of people in our neighborhood that are dying. And he said, I've come to realize how fragile life is, how quickly it can be snuffed out, taken away. You know, and then for those of you who are football fans, you all saw on Monday night what happened to one of the players of the Buffalo Bills, who, a strong, young, 23-year-old, healthy man in every regard, who basically falls over with no heartbeat on the field during the game. Fortunately, he's doing better this week. But again, it shows you how easily life can be taken from us. There was a 11th century woman. She was born right after the schism in 1054, around 1090-something. I'm not sure what the date is. And her name is Hildegard of Bingen. She was a German mystic, theologian, writer, abbess, composer. In fact, out of all the medieval chants we have today, if you look at the number recorded, she is the most popular. She's sort of like our Cassiani. And she said something that I think was quite wonderful and quite telling. Because although she was referring to herself at the time, she said that we are but a feather on the breath of God. That we are pushed along. We are so lightweight compared to the images of the Holy Spirit that we find in Scripture, whether fire or wind or cloud or all of these other things that the Holy Spirit has appeared in to manifest the Holy Trinity over the years, we just sort of float along, supported only by that breath of God. If that breath is removed, we falter that easily, that quickly. And yet, at the same time, the Lord, when He comes to us in baptism, is emphasizing to us this power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live as Christians, and even forever, if that's what we wish to do. In fact, in today's gospel, we see it's sort of a continuation of the Theophany story. Because after that, the Lord, finding Himself pursued because John had been imprisoned, flees and goes into the area of Galilee, Capernaum, Galilee of the Gentiles, it was called, because Galilee was mostly a region of Gentiles. It was considered a very dark and unenlightened area. That's why in the gospel today it says that those who were in that area had seen a great light, the light of the gospel, the light of Christ Himself. Indeed, Christ Himself come into that area after having been baptized, had taken on everything He possibly could for our salvation up to that point, and then going on and beginning His teaching almost immediately after that. And the Lord's first words, as we spoke about before, echoed that of St. John the Baptist as he was preaching, showing the continuity between this transitional figure of the Old and New Testaments to that of the New Covenant. And that was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when Jesus says that, He's saying, I am at hand, because I am the kingdom of heaven. And by taking on the waters of baptism upon Himself, that common element which is part of all of us, He is saying that now the kingdom of heaven can be within you as well. Father Thomas Hopko had said years ago that I believe he was getting into a cab in New York City and driving along, and he was, you know, all decked out in his stuff. And the cab driver saw that, and he said, are you a priest? And Father Thomas said, yes, I'm an Orthodox Christian priest. And then the man says, well, are you saved? And Father Tom said, well, yes. My Lord and God Jesus Christ has done everything for me. He was made incarnate. He was baptized. He rose from the dead. He sent me the Holy Spirit. Absolutely, I am. But then he said, but the problem is, every day my sins and my actions reject all that. Every day I'm turning away from Christ, which is why I need to repent. Of course, this is not exactly what the cab driver was expecting. But Father Thomas was absolutely correct in his assessment. Salvation laid down across the world, even at the incarnation of Christ, when salvation comes into the world, salvation then undergoes for us a baptism to show us what we need to do. And then the Lord says, repent, because He knows, as St. Paul certainly does in every one of his epistles, that we're going to have trouble. We're going to have trouble following that, maintaining that baptism, keeping that baptism always current in our minds and our hearts and our lives so that we can become Christ-like. That's why he utters the word repent after his baptism, because he knows our faults, he knows our failings, he knows the trouble we're going to have. But yet he says two strange things. One, be not afraid. And two, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Saying that we should strive towards these things. Never cease repenting. Never cease understanding the depth of how far we are from God. And yet, because of that repentance, knowing how much God loves us and will come to fill up all those things that are lacking in us. That's what Theophany is all about. That's what this God manifestation is all about. And that we celebrate so vividly, so boldly. We bless the waters on this day, or at least Friday. We blessed the great blessing of the water because the Lord Himself had the first great blessing of water when He went down into the River Jordan. That was the first one. That set the standard. The church ever since then has blessed water to be used for all these things that we talk about, for sanctification of soul, for healing of body, for the elimination of all evil in our lives. The great prayer at that service goes on and on and on about today, this is what's happening. I think I counted something like 18. Today, this is what's happening. This is what's happening now. Because the ever-present action of the Lord in this cosmic, absolutely cosmic event where He recreates the water, thereby recreating the world, all that is made present for us today. It didn't just happen then, it's happening now. And we need to realize that, understand that, renew ourselves, recommit ourselves. It's going to take that, lest you end up in a cab in New York City and have to talk about how, well, I ignored all the salvation that God gave me. You don't want to be in that same position Father Tom was on that day. Because he understood, and believe me, Father Tom lived that life. He definitely lived that life. But we're all called to that life too, and we don't want to turn away from it. Don't be distracted, my dear brothers and sisters, by the things going on around you, the things in the world, the little mundane things that keep you from coming to church, that keep you from coming to confession, that keep you from worthily receiving the body and blood of Christ. Don't be distracted by these things. Put the Lord in His theophany in front of you at all times. At all times. We must take the things that the Lord has given us and allow that to renew our natures and to become the people, the rational, sentient, nous-given, inspired people of God that He so desires. That's the goal for all of us. And if we turn away from it, it's absolutely tragic because the Lord offers it freely, but we have to accept it. Amen.